you guys out there in the third dimension with your smart devices, you can really exercise your thumbs on this show. Hello, everybody out there in the third dimension. That's you guys that are watching.
Hi,
I'm
everybody.
Gary. This is my wife, Gloria.
Hi.
And on screen with us, we've got John Tripp from North Carolina. G'day, mm-hmm. John.
Mm-hmm. Good evening.
Yes.
Good evening here. Yes.
It's evening in North Carolina, and it's early morning over here in Australia. We're on the east coast of Australia in a small city called Ipswich, which is about 50 kilometres, 21 miles west of the capital city, Brisbane. Mm. And right now, this is a Bible study. We're Grace Faith Christian Discipleship, and this is the GFCD Q&A Bible study. And this morning we'll be in the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, I think at about verse 11. Mm-hmm. So before we get that rocking and wrong, I'm going to hand over to Gloria to open with prayer and to lead us through communion. Yes.
Oh, Father God, we just thank you so much for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will be glad and rejoice in it. We thank you for the blessings that flow from you and all the promises that you have for us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's helping us as we read the word. We thank you for Jesus, who is the word, and we thank you that your word goes out into the world and reaches the hearts of people who are hungry to know you and to understand the word in a deeper way. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And that clunk 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 on is we've got polished timber floors here and we've got a little puppy dog of about 12 or 13 weeks, and he is chewing on a dehydrated goat's horn, and it is going clunk, clunk, clunk on the floor. Just so I let the people know what's
happy.
Going on. Mm. Yeah, it keeps him entertained.
So we usually do like to start with a communion message. So if you haven't got your elements, please go and get something that you can use to represent the body and the blood of Jesus. And I'll just pass some bread over to Gary. And before we came online today, we were just talking about the spectacle that is being that has just occurred over in Great Britain, and how, you know, it is wonderful for the country and all those people who like to celebrate, commemorate, be a part of the pageantry and the splendor and the grandeur. But let's just get it all in perspective, right? Okay, as I was reading the word the other night, I read the passage about where Jesus was where he was before Pontius Pilate. And I just want to, just if you keep in mind what's just been going on, and you know, that's fine, I've got nothing against it, but I just want you to listen to what happened to Jesus, because he is our King of Kings, he is our Lord of Lords, and this is what happened to him. Okay. And so I'll start from verse 24, and it says, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Now, that's a terrible curse to put over themselves, isn't it? Mm. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. Okay, so can you just see this, right? Here is our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, and there's all these soldiers gathered around him. And in my mind, I'm thinking of all the soldiers that were marching for King Charles. And yet here we have Jesus, and these soldiers who are gathered around him aren't gathered around him to honor him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, that's his crown, and a reed in his right hand, like a scepter. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him. They didn't honor him. They mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Now they came out. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Now, he is not just the King of the Jews, he's our King. He is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. He is the one that rightly deserves honor and praise. He is the majesty on high. Mm. And so as we come, we honor the true King, Jesus, who is our Lord, who gave his body as a sacrifice to pay for our right to walk in divine health, that by his stripes, by his body, that took that punishment for us, we have that right to walk in divine health. And we thank you for that, Jesus. We honor and give you praise and glory to your name.
By your stripes.
By your stripes.
I was healed.
I was healed. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, your only begotten Son, who laid aside his divinity to be 100% man, 100% God, the only one, the sinless man that could pay the price. We thank you that your precious blood was shed to take away the sin of the world for all time, for all mankind. And we thank you for that, Jesus. We praise your holy name, King of kings and Lord of lords. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for your blood which justified me.
Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you are risen, that you are alive and living, that you are a living God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Wow, it really puts it all in perspective, doesn't it? I mean, this, the word is truth. And no matter what we might see in the natural, whether it be pageantry or spectacle, we have to come back to the word and not be overtaken by what our senses see.
Amen. Thank you, Gloria. Well, this is a Bible study, as I said, and John will introduce himself when he makes his first comment. Right now, we're going to get into it. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 9, and we will open at verse 11 and read through it. But just to bring things into context, the book of Hebrews, we don't actually know who the author is. A lot of people think it was the Apostle Paul, because the writing style is so similar. It probably is, but I'm not going to say definitively, because you can only say what the word tells you, and the word doesn't give us information on the author. The other thing is, but what we do have information on is who the audience is. The audience are all Christians. They're Christians, right? But they are Hebrews. So what does that tell us? That tells us that these people were Jews. Now, I'm talking about their, can I call it religion? They are the children of Israel, they are Jewish, but they have converted from keeping the law to Christianity. Well, so they've converted from the law of Moses to the grace of Jesus Christ. Okay? So that's who our audience is. So these people know the law. And we Gentiles might think we know the law, but really we know about the law. We have never been under the law. And what we know is just that much of it. But as we're reading this, a lot of it is quoting the law. Now, what I like to do when I'm doing any Bible study is identify law from grace. And last night's Bible study, see, these Bible studies, one feeds after the other. So we've got in our YouTube, YouTube
playlist.
We've got all our Bible studies there. We're approaching, heading on towards 300 Bible studies there, but you can see them and they're in order of when they're put up. And if you want to go back and have a look at last night's Bible study. Now, in last night's Bible study, what was I going to say about that? I can't remember. But anyway, just moving right along, let's open up at Hebrews 9 and we'll read from verse 11. Whatever it was that I was going to say, if it was important, it will
come through.
Mm-hmm. It will be.
I know there was
brought
some really
to my
good
remembrance.
Discussion on the mercy seat. That was really very mm-hmm. good. So go back and watch it if you didn't get to see mm-hmm. it, because it was very good.
Yeah. See, these Bible studies. It's not from that we're coming from a place where we know it all. None of us know it all, right? But we can learn from each other. Mm. And like I've got the We in Grace Faith Christian Discipleship in our Bible study. Yeah, I know there's only three of us on the screen today, but sometimes there's
six or eight
people on the screen, most of whom are more knowledgeable in the Word than I am. So it's not like we're coming up from a place of knowing it all. The purposes of this Bible study is to teach how to rightly divide the word of truth. So as I did last night, I talked about things that I call them a new wrinkle in my brain. And so that makes you vulnerable when you're sort of like presenting stuff that you're not entirely locked in on, but it just brought out so much good stuff about this mercy seat. And I learned a lot, probably more than anyone else on the screen. So let's just get into this Hebrews 9:11. Mm-hmm. So where are we? We're Hebrews 9:11. Scroll down. Mm-hmm. And can I, it's got a title, The Heavenly Sanctuary. If you can read from 11 down to 15, mm-hmm. and then I might jump in with some comments and then follow up with John. Mm-hmm. After me, if that's okay with you, John, mm-hmm. and don't forget to introduce yourself when we come to that. Okay, where you go, okay. Gloria.
It's starting with the word "but." Did you want me to read anything before that?
Okay. Yeah, you can jump in there. We'll read from 6 down, but we're not going to be studying out 6 to 10.
Okay.
This is just so that we lead into, so we can find out what this "but" is about, mm-hmm. right?
Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services.
Can you pull up there? Yeah. The tabernacle, we discussed that last night. What is the tabernacle? Because sometimes you can think, well, hang on, is the tabernacle the old, the law of Moses or the Old Testament, or is it the tent that Moses, Moses didn't have a temple. That was brought in by, who built the temple? I can't remember. Solomon, I think it was. So there were a couple of temples, but we're talking about a tabernacle. So I think it's referring to the tent. Now, inside the tabernacle, there was the front part, which was called the holies. And then there was the curtain or the veil. And then behind it was the Holy of Holies. So I believe that this tabernacle that they're talking about is basically the tent of Moses. You know, Tom talked about it last night, and he saw it as being the covenant that God made with the people of Israel. That is the law of Moses, and so there was a bit of discussion on that. So I just wanted to pull up on that word tabernacle, because we are doing a Bible study. We really need to get our head around what we're talking about here. So this tabernacle, I see it as being this tent that Moses had the Ark of the Covenant in. And the Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies. And while we're talking about the Ark of the Covenant, what was the Ark of the Covenant? And I want to rightly divide, or other words, look for what is law and what is grace. Well, in the Ark of the Covenant is a whole variety of things, and they're all listed, and they all pertain to the law, right? They're all things to do with the...
It was manna.
There was the manna.
There was the rod, the buttered rod.
The buttered tablets. And the tablets of stone on which were written the Ten Commandments, or the Law of Moses,
the showbread, that's right.
Yeah. On top of that, which I see as being kind of like a lid, it was gold, it was called the mercy seat. So it was, and then over that was the cherubim with their wings spread. And I'm looking at what was law and what was grace. Well, the only thing that I can see that was to do with grace was the mercy seat, because everything in there was a type and shadow of what was to come. Now, we see that the mercy seat, the priest used to go in and he'd sprinkle everything with blood, including the mercy seat. But Jesus, when he went to heaven, he didn't take his blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. He went and appeared before God. Why? Because Jesus was that mercy seat, right? His blood.
He was the propitiation.
He was the propitiation. Mercy seat means can you say that word for me?
Propitiation.
Mercy seat means propitiation. Jesus, the Bible says definitively that Jesus is propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only. He was the propitiation for the sin of the whole world. Now, by this, we can see that all sin has been defeated by the blood of Jesus. All sin. All sin, sin has been totally conquered, totally obliterated. That sin is no longer the issue. What is the issue is, what are you going to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? What are you going to do about Jesus? Jesus is the issue, not sin. All right? Sin was the issue until Jesus went to the cross. So that's just a bit of background. Okay, keep reading, Gloria, from 7.
But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance.
Okay, that second part is the Holy of Holies. So you've got the front part, which is the holies. This is inside the tabernacle, one tabernacle, which is basically a tent. You've got the veil. In the front of the veil is the holies, and behind the veil is the Holy of Holies, right? Mm-hmm. So keep going.
The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing.
Okay, so the first tabernacle, we're talking about the tent, right? So the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, right? Why? Because it was by the body of Jesus. It was the veil was rent from top to bottom, which made the way, and that was at the crucifixion, and it specifically points at his body. Keep reading, Gloria.
It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation.
So that's pretty much self-explanatory. Just read it again and you'll easily get your head around it. Doesn't require me to explain it. So this is where we're studying. But.
Right. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, and the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, and those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance.
Praise God. Eternal. Thanks, Gloria.
Inheritance.
Okay, we've dealt with the word tabernacle. I just want to, I've highlighted a few things here. Eternal redemption. You see, under the old covenant, when the priest went in, he had to do this every year. He had to first make a blood offering for his own sin, and then he made a second blood offering for the sins of the people. But that was only a covering of their sin. It never dealt with the root cause of sin, right? But not made with the blood of goats and calves, which is what I just described, but with his, Jesus' own blood, he entered the most holy place once, a single time, once only, for all, A-double-L. He didn't just do it for those who would receive salvation, he did it for all, because he was dealing with the sin issue. He was dealing with what is described as the original sin, which we inherited from the first Adam, right? Having obtained eternal redemption, he obtained eternal redemption, not momentary redemption as was the case when the priests offered a blood sacrifice every year. It was, you know, it was like they had to deal with this. It was an ongoing thing. The fact that they're having to do it year in and year out and year in and year out just reminded the Jews that they needed a savior, that this was only a covering for sin. But when Jesus paid the price for the sin issue, for that original sin, he obtained eternal redemption. And of course, that for us is not automatic. It's available, but you have to receive it through putting your trust in Jesus in accordance with Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. So that's dealing with the flesh, but only temporarily. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God? So what was it about the blood of Christ that made it special? Was it because he was God? I'm asking a serious question here. Was it because he was God? Well, the answer to that is no. It wasn't because Jesus was God. And believe me, Jesus was and always will be 100% God. But you see, to pay the price for the sin of mankind, it had to be a man. It had to be a man. Not only did it have to be a man, it had to be a sinless man. So God had to become man. Now, this was the big deal in the spirit realm. for us in the natural realm and the people that were alive that day, to those day, in that day, they had no problem with the fact that Jesus was a man. In fact, they said, isn't this just Joseph's son? Isn't this just the carpenter? This man who's doing these mighty miracles. But in the spirit realm, the demons challenged him. We know who you are, son of the Most High. What are you doing here? And he made them shut up, right? He commanded them and took authority over them and shut their mouths, right? Because what was going to be challenged was not the deity of Jesus. That was never up for debate in the spirit realm. It was the humanity. It was the humanity of Jesus. God had become a man, a sinless man. So getting back to my question, the blood of Christ was special because of the fact that he had no sin. It had to be a man, 100% man, not God. It had to be 100% man, sinless man. And there were no sinless men because we were born in sin, but Jesus was born without sin. That is the big issue. That was the thing that was going to be challenged in the spirit realm by principalities and powers and demonic forces and all that sort of thing. They were going to challenge this. And ultimately, Jesus was victorious. Okay, how much more the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, right? See, he offered himself without spot to God. He didn't offer himself without spot to the mercy seat, because he was the mercy seat. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant. See, the transgressions are all listed under the first covenant, all right, under the law of Moses, right? For the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called, and we dealt with this word called in probably about two Bible studies back, so I'm not going to revisit that, may receive the promise of May, I should have highlighted that word, may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And we'll talk later about how you receive this promise of eternal inheritance. We're talking about eternal life here. We're talking about eternal life, not just life and death. We're talking about eternal life. And we will, before this Bible study comes to a conclusion, we'll talk further on that. I want to hand over to Mighty Man of God, John Tripp, and for John to make comments on these verses from verse 11 down to verse 15, please, John. And don't forget to introduce yourself.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm John Tripp. I live in the state of North Carolina, which is in the southeastern part of the United States. And I'm coming to you from Thomasville tonight. So it's good to be with you. Let me just back up and say a few things that you had covered earlier. The tabernacle, and where it said they had one day to atone for their sins, which is called the Yom Kippur. And I've talked to my Jewish friends who were Messianic believers, believe if they always told me if they were going to die on one day, that's the day that they wanted to die on, because they knew that their sins would be forgiven on that Day of Atonement. So just thought I'd, pass that little information along. So, but going back and looking at some of those things that we talked about, we got to stop doing dead works. And what does that really mean to non-believers? What are dead works? Well, how can something be a work and be dead? I mean, there's a kind of wordplay there that you look at. And it's some people, and it could be their sins, but I think probably a better understanding is that we are free from those dead religious works that we've done, because it talked about all the other things that they did in the Jewish temple. Okay. The brazen altar where they had to wash their hand and do all those things that we talked about. Well, the brazen altar has been replaced by the cross. And we go on and you read a little bit later about the veil that's separated from the Holy of Holies. And you couldn't go in there. Well, that's the Holy of Holies has been replaced by faith. I'm so thankful for that. So that kind of gives you kind of idea what they maybe, I believe, is what they were informed about dead works. And what's the eternal inheritance? Basically, that's the promise of that. That's our sins, forgiven, past, present, and future. Thank you, Gary.
Before we commence the next segment, which is always the highlight of our Bible study, I'd like to pray over your giving today. This prayer comes from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 and 11. May God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. I thank God for your giving. I thank God for those who on a regular basis are partnered with GFCD and give monthly. This allows us to keep all our various programs going. Thank you again. God bless you. And we are now in verse 16, Andre.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want you to read down to 22, 16 to 22, please.
Okay, for where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the new covenant." This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise,
that's the Old Testament, the Old Testament. That's the law of Moses.
That's right. Sorry. Mm. This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission.
Yeah, thanks, Gloria. Mm. Sorry to pull you up on that.
No, that was
but
very
a pretty
important.
Major point
it
because
was.
The wording is so similar to when Jesus said, "This is the blood of the new covenant," talking about his own blood. So the wording is very, very similar.
Yeah.
But oh my goodness, what a difference.
180 degrees.
I'm going to hand straight over to John. Mm-hmm. Over to you, John.
Well, in verse 16, Jesus was the executor of his own will. Aren't you thankful for that?
That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of that before.
Well, he was. And basically, we mentioned, that's found in Exodus 24:8, if anybody wants to go look up what Moses, what he had to say about all that. And life without, there can't be life. The life is in the blood. And that's the reason why we give commandments about not drinking blood and other things. I won't go into all that, but that's the, they did that. So anyway, but gee whiz, I don't know what else to say. I think I've said enough but anyway, thank you. I don't have anything else to add to that. You did a great job, Gary. I don't know what else to say. Thank you.
Well, I think it is the fact that those that second group of verses from 16 down to 22 are pretty much self-explanatory. You don't
right.
Yeah, you know,
it
I,
is.
Yeah, you know, I didn't make any great comment on it because I'm conscious no. of the time, and I don't want to have an altar call because I think, you know, you've got to put first things first. Mm. It's all right for us who have been meditating in the word for decades to get so deeply focused on the word itself, but there was a time when we had not ourselves accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And it talks about receiving eternal redemption, right? It talks about receiving eternal redemption, but it doesn't tell you there how to receive eternal redemption. I'm going to share screen because we've got a little bit of time, and I'm going to go to the book of Romans, because usually I just quote this, but you know what? Sometimes it's really good to read it. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, and I want to read verses 9 and 10, because we've just read over there in Hebrews about receiving eternal redemption, but it doesn't tell us how to. The author of the book of Romans is right into teaching how to, because he's a teacher. So you see, what is the difference between somebody who preaches the gospel, a preacher, and somebody who teaches, somebody like me who teaches the gospel? You won't very often hear a teacher preach, because a teacher, by it's in their DNA to explain how to. I'm a nuts and bolts person. I've got to say, this is how you put the nut on the thread, you know, and I'll describe it in great detail. The Apostle Paul is a teacher, and he has taught here. This is the how to, that if, how to, that if you do this, you will receive eternal redemption. This is how you receive it. And he points out the requirements. Guess what? There's only, can you see my two fingers up there? There are only two requirements. Two requirements. That's not a big number. Two requirements to having this confidence that you have eternal life. Let's read what those requirements are. Paul the Apostle writes that if you put your name in there, that if you confess with your mouth. What's that mean? It means speak aloud. It's not you don't think your way into salvation. You have to confess your way into salvation. If you confess with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, in other words, you make him Lord of your life. He's already the Lord of Lords, but is he your Lord, right? Or are you doing it your way, right? And believe in your heart. You have to believe something. You've got to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, not just maybe you did or maybe you didn't. No, you've got to believe with all your heart. It's a choice. You see, what you've heard tonight or this morning is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you have to make a choice about that gospel. See, God the Father made Jesus a stumbling stone, so that nobody can just slip their way into hell. Whoops, I've ended up in hell. I didn't have a choice about Jesus because I never heard about him. Rubbish. God made Jesus a stumbling stone. Nobody ends up in hell without tripping over Jesus. He is the stumbling stone. It's not the sin issue. It's the Jesus issue. What did you do with my son, Jesus? That's what God the Father is going to say to you. What did you do with my son Jesus? My son Jesus laid his life down for you. What was your response? Well, here's your opportunity. Okay, it says here that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will receive eternal life. And then it explains what this is about. So that's the how-to. This is the explanation, verse 10. For with your heart you believe unto righteousness. So you put yourself in a position to receive. You've got to have a believing heart. You've got to have a heart that has chosen to receive the gift. And with mouth, with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Right now, I invite you out there in the third dimension to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and your Savior. Just say this prayer with me. God, I've heard about Jesus. I've heard the good news. I make the decision right now to believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. And right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus, you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Jesus, I choose to make you Lord of my life. I thank you, God, that I can now call you my Heavenly Father. And I thank you, Jesus, that you have made me born again. I thank you that I now have, from this day forward, received eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time today, Gloria's going to do her part.
And I'll give you our email address so that you can contact us. It's gfcd.sozo@gmail.com.
And we will put you in touch with someone in your neck of the woods. Yeah, this is a global ministry, even though there's only three of us on the screen today. Mm-hmm. We have a global network, and we will find someone in your area to mentor you. Mm-hmm. Because putting your trust in Jesus, calling on that name of Jesus, is just the first step. Mm-hmm. You have just received the major gift from God, which is eternal life. But guess what? It's only one of over 7,000 promises in the Bible. Mm. And if you're like me, then you want to know what they all are. I remember after I had said that prayer, the very next, maybe it wasn't even the next day, maybe it was that evening, I thought, man, if two verses in the Bible can turn my life around 180 degrees, I need to find out what the other promises are in the Word of God. And I went out and bought myself a Bible. I bought a New King James version of the Bible the very first day, and I devoured it because I was a babe in Christ, and babes feed on milk of the Word. So I just got into the Word. I devoured it. I was like, I was hungry for the things of God. I was at that time, I was 43 years of age, and my life had turned around 180 degrees, and I just devoured that Bible. And best decision I made in my life, best decision you've made in your life. God bless. So right now I'm going to hand over to Gloria to close this Bible study with prayer.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us, especially you, John, for coming along today to be part of the Bible study. But we know that there are many, many people who watch this at another time. In fact, we've been getting quite amazing numbers as the days go on. We've had 100, 200 people watching at another time. And so we just...
And this is in the first... within. So we have two Bible studies each weekend. And if I add up all the numbers of views over the weekend, we're getting about, in the following 7 days, about, from both Bible studies, about 300 views mm-hmm. In a 7-day period. Yeah. So that's a lot of people with the opportunity to put their trust in Jesus.
That's right. So what we're asking you to do, I mean, you may not contact us, but we can see that there are people who are watching at another time. Share these Bible studies with other people. It's not about Gary and Gloria. It's not about us. It's about getting the word of God out to people who want to truly understand and be able to rightly divide. And also to those people who need to make Jesus their Lord and Savior. He's already our Savior, but to make him Lord of their life. Because we live in a time of great tumult. It's a word I heard just recently. And people need certainty. And Jesus is our certainty. He is the only thing that we can truly count on in this life. And so share it with everybody that you know that really needs to hear this message. So, Father God, we just thank you for this precious time. We don't despise small beginnings. You said that to us years ago. And we're so grateful that you have given us this platform to be able to share the word of God with the world. And we believe that this word goes out to the people whose hearts are hungry. We thank you for the blessing of this day. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is in us. We thank you that Jesus is alive. We thank you for this amazing platform that we have to be able to share the word of God with the world. And we thank you. We ask that you bless each and every one of those people who have listened today and in the future, that their lives will be changed from the hearing of the word. And we bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So just remember where you saw us. We'll be back this time next week. God bless. See you, John. Thanks very much for your time.
Yes.
The lovely
and
great
had a great time.
Thank you. Say hi to Brenda too.
I will tell. Hi, Brenda. Hi.
And until next week, be blessed.
Yes.